Hello and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Wherever you are, thanks for joining us on the journey today.
We welcome all of our listeners today, and today wraps up this little mini-series we've been doing this month. We've entitled this, When the World Goes Dark. Earlier this month, we had an eclipse, a total eclipse in this area, and it was just an amazing thing. It seems like a long time ago
already. It does.
We might need to talk about that sometime, how fast time seems to go.
Yes.
But it was just a few weeks ago. And so kind of building upon that, we were looking at different times in our Bible where there were darkness. We began this series by talking about the ninth plague. When God sent darkness upon Egypt, and there was darkness for 3 days. Our second lesson, we talked about when Jesus died upon the cross and how there was darkness for 3 hours and what happened with the death of Jesus. From that, last time we talked about the book of Joel and the book of Acts. Joel chapter 2, Acts 2. One's prophesied, one's seen the fulfillment. And that's where Peter says, as Joel had quoted, that the sun would be dark and the moon would turn to blood. And we talked about that concept of that gospel message being preached and salvation coming into the world. Well, today we're going to wrap this little series up, and we're going to go to the book of John chapter 3, and we want to talk about this expression, men loving darkness. The Gospel of John begins with John telling us that Jesus is the Word. By the third chapter, he describes Jesus as the light. And both of those expressive terms kind of give us a little indication who Jesus is. So starting in John chapter 3, let me just read verses 16 to 21, and then Jason and I are going to just kind of walk through this with you and talk about this idea of men loving darkness. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe in him has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." And so right there we have that little contrast between light and darkness. There we find that expression, men love darkness. It's interesting to me, Jason, that, you know, you talk to policemen and other people in official capacities that more crime happens at night than in daytime.
Yeah.
Sometimes you drive by a bar and it looks dark inside. You know, it doesn't look like Walmart all lit up. It's always dark when you drive by, even though it's open. The darkness just has this environment of evil and wrong and crime. And that, I think that's going to kind of carry into this as we discuss this today.
Yeah, I mean, darkness obscures things. It hides things, right? And I think that that is the foundational point that John is making in John chapter 3. It really goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, near the very beginning of our Bibles, when Adam and Eve choose to disregard God's instructions and warnings, act as if they know better than God. They transgress God's expressed will for their lives. And the first thing that they do is hide. They hide themselves from God. And it doesn't have to be physically dark outside in order to hide, but that is the point, right? Darkness obscures things. And there are people, John is teaching us, that just have the heart that they don't want things to be revealed. They would rather keep things in the shadows.
And I think there's an easy list we can make why people like darkness. As you said, it's easy to hide things. You know, you look this way, you look that way, and no one's looking, then you do something you shouldn't do. Well, why do you look this way and look that way? Because you know you shouldn't be doing it. Yeah. That's just a common thing. Darkness is easy. It's easy to do wrong. It's harder to walk in faith and walk in righteousness. Darkness is very popular. There you'll find more people doing wrong than you will find doing right. It seems like fun for the moment, and that's the appeal of wrong, is that it seems fun and exciting, but it's only more momentarily. And I think because of the darkness, they think they can get away with it.
Yeah.
No one's going to catch me. You know, I drive the highway every day coming down to the church building, and there's always two or three state police cars, just different locations. People will be flying by me, and then they see that police car, and they just slam on their brakes, and they think if they go back to about 30 miles an hour, that makes up for going 80 miles an hour. And it's like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. And that idea. But as soon as they pass that police car, he's a little bit out of their sight, back they go accelerating too fast again. Yeah. They can get away with it. And that's what darkness does.
Yeah. I would just summarize your list by attaching the word self to it. When I put myself first, what I'm doing is turning my back to this true light that has come into the world in the form of Jesus, right? And I am putting myself first, but the tragic diagnosis of the New Testament is that puts me in the dark, right? I know we're focused primarily on the writings of John, but that is what the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 is getting at, that when self is gratified, when I put myself above anyone and anything else, listen to this language. Paul says such a person is darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. And he goes on to describe all sorts of callous behavior because my understanding is firmly rooted in me and what I want. I'm just going to put myself first. That's what I desire more than anything else. That does not lead to enlightenment. It does not lead to a better life, more harmonious life with others. It, in fact, separates me from the source of life and light.
So as we stretch this a little bit, back to that John 3 passage,
yeah.
In verse 19, The Lord says here through John's writings, it says that men love darkness rather than the light.
Yeah.
And the light, of course, is Jesus.
Right.
So evil hates Jesus. Evil hates light. Why?
Well, we could begin on page 3 of our Bibles, right? Genesis chapter 3, there is this promise that, yes, the serpent deceives and, in a sense, drags Adam and Eve into the dark. But even there is a prophecy that eventually someone is going to come and crush the head of the serpent. Well, in John's gospel, we are given a front row seat as to exactly how that happens, right? How the seed of woman, the Son of God that is introduced to us in John chapter 1, goes about doing that. And we've got throughout the gospel descriptions of people who believed Jesus, saw the signs that he did, were willing to follow him wherever he went, whatever the cost. But we are also told of a lot of people who did not like what he said. They could not deny that he was working miracles. I mean, we're even given insight into some of the discussions that scribes and Pharisees and priests and chief priests had with one another, when they just acknowledged that this man does incredible signs, we cannot deny, but if people keep following him, we're going to lose what we have, therefore we've got to kill him. What is that? That is putting me and myself ahead of the light. And to borrow from our theme for the month, it is as if there is an eclipse, right? The sun, S-O-N, of God is shining brightly, but I allow myself and my own self-interest to come before him. And for a little while, I can obscure that light and hide whatever it is that I want to hide or hold on to whatever it is I want to hold on to, but it's not going to last.
And I think another reason why evil hates or darkness hates the light is the light reminds them what's right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people deep inside really know that I probably shouldn't be doing this, but everyone else is doing that. It's kind of like that police car I just mentioned. You know, if your conscience didn't bother you to drive 80 when the speed limit says 55, just drive right past that police car going 80 miles an hour. But they know they shouldn't. And so that police car is a reminder that I shouldn't be doing that. So they slow down for the moment until the police car is out of their sight. Then they go right back to that way. Jesus is that reminder, a reminder that we should be living holy, but I'm not. And a reminder that I should not be selfish, but I am. And so rather than changing their ways, it's easier just to change and get rid of Jesus. I hate Jesus. Put him on a cross, let's kill him, and then we're done with this. We can go back to the way we were. Well, up from the grave he arose, and that changed that. And so I think that's one reminder of why the world does that, because they simply hate that. But the next verse in John 3, verse 20, it says, evil fears the deeds would be exposed. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, when light shines, I mean, you go down into a deep cave, right? And when light is brought into that cave, whatever is in there, whatever is alive, you know, some of these caves have water and there are fish swimming in that water that have gotten to the point, they have eyes, but they cannot see because they've been in the dark so long, right? What a parable there that we could talk about. But when you carry a torch or a lantern or some sort of a flashlight, you begin to see what without that light is unseen. And of course, this basic metaphor of light and darkness is all over the Bible to describe what is righteous versus what is unrighteous, what is holy versus what is unholy, what is the things of God versus the twisted and perverse things of man. It really is going to depend upon my heart, right? If my heart is good and honest and willing to be turned, well, the light shines and I recognize what a wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked person I have been, right? And show me what I need to do. What must I do to be saved? But if my heart is darkened and hard, and it's like the seed of God's word is hitting a rock or just falling into the depths of bottomless darkness, then I'm not going to be amused when that light keeps shining on things that I would rather keep hidden.
And one of the things we're seeing in this transition is as one believes in Christ and becomes a Christian, there is a subtle shifting there.
Yeah.
He's gone from loving darkness and hating light to loving light and hating darkness.
Yeah.
And much like it talks about in the book of 2 Peter about Lot, as Lot was living in Sodom, it says his righteous soul was vexed or bothered or tormented every day. Those that love light are tormented by darkness. We don't like darkness. We don't like hearing bad words. We don't like seeing things that are inappropriate or things that are blasphemous. And so that contrast becomes sharper and sharper as one grows in Jesus Christ. And that's just a important thing to do. Now, for a person to say, I'm a Christian, but I still love darkness, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And that's not going to work out right. And sooner or later, he's going to either leave the Lord or leave the world, but you can't hold both of them in your hands. And Again, a lot of passages talk about love not the world or friendship with the world. All those things are a problem when we realize the world is described as a dark place.
Yeah, the same John who wrote the gospel is the one who wrote 1 John. And he writes to us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." That's exactly what you're describing.
Yeah, and so back to that verse before, verse 5, God is light and in him there's no darkness. There's no evil in God.
No.
And there's no wickedness. So sometimes when there's been a tragedy, there's been death, there's been a mass shooting, there's been something that's just not good, sometimes people in their anger and their doubts and their confusion will say, well, why God? God's not causing those things. God's not dark. God doesn't have, he doesn't rejoice in seeing the death of the righteous or anyone. And so those are things attributed to the darkness. And again, to see that contrast that God wants us to see with this. And so that verse 6, that's a pivotal verse. If we walk in darkness but claim to be in fellowship with God, that's not right. Our walk and our talk must match. Not just our walk and our talk, but our walk and our faith must match. Our walk and our heart must match. And so to love darkness means I love what is evil. And that doesn't work with God because God has no darkness in him. So if I want to be right with God, I've got to get that darkness out of me. I've got to learn to hate darkness. I've got to learn to recognize what is darkness and say, I want no part of that. Sometimes our culture paints only one picture of God, and that God is love, and he closes his eyes to everything else. Well, that's not what the Bible says. There's multiple places in Psalms and Proverbs that talk about God hates certain things. God hates those who tell lies, and God hates sin. And to hate what God hates, to hate things that are wrong, that's part of this walk we have with Jesus. And so this contrast between light and darkness, the longer you are in Jesus, it becomes more and more obvious, more drastic. The more you recognize darkness and recognize, oh, I don't want any part of that because it's not going to help me. Doesn't help my faith. Doesn't help my walk with Jesus. And I'm going to be someone who recognizes that and gets as far away from that as I can.
Well, I think maybe that's a good note on which to end, that this is a walk that transforms us, right? In John chapter 12, so many times in John's writing, this idea of light comes up. In John chapter 12, he emphasizes in verse 35, the one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. But listen to this in verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. When we walk in the light and believe in Jesus as the light, and we believe that this is life the way it was meant to be. And yes, there are going to be times that we stumble, but God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so I'm going to turn and I'm going to keep walking in the light. It absolutely transforms us to be sons and daughters of the light. And it is not always easy. We pass through at times very dark valleys, very disturbing situations. Roger, as you mentioned, life under the sun at times is going to be really dark, really challenging. But I love how John begins his gospel just 5 verses in, assuring us that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. John is writing that after darkness had done its absolute worst. The Son of God had been crucified on a Roman cross. Darkness appeared to have absolutely won the day. And as you said a few moments ago, up from the grave he arose. And so let's anchor ourselves to that promise. For a little while, There are dark seasons, and this world is at times enveloped in darkness, and we are surrounded by people who love the darkness rather than the light. But the darkness is not greater than the light, and the darkness can do nothing, absolutely nothing, to overcome the light. Sons and daughters of light are on the right track and on their way to what the Bible describes as eternal life and light.
And what a wonderful contrast when you get to Revelation 21, where it describes heaven and there's no need of the sun or of a lamp because God is there.
Yeah.
He is the light. And what a bright picture that is of us. The word glory or glorified used all throughout the Bible brings images of brightness and light. And so, you know, what you do when you walk into a dark room is you flip on that light and you can see. And God has flipped on that light in this world, and it's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And through that we see. We see what God wants. We see what's right. We see what's wrong. We see the path that we're supposed to follow. It's not, I can't find this. I'm going to just kind of wander around. It's all lit up. It's through the Word of God. And when we do that, we have the hope of heaven as God wants us to have.
Yeah. When the world goes dark, this has been an interesting exercise. And Roger, I appreciate you walking through that with me. It's been encouraging to hear feedback from a variety of people this month that have enjoyed just this conversation, especially tied to what we saw a couple of weeks ago in this part of the world. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. Lord willing, next Friday we'll be in the month of May and we'll have a brand new theme. But in the meantime, we hope these conversations have helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're walking in the light, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.